right, very shortly. Community Garda information is coming up for you, where you hear the very latest appeals and information from Ongada Síochána first and live here every Tuesday morning. Coming up at 10:30, we are also going into the garden with Paul. Get your questions in to us after 11. We chat to this year's Marys, those vying for the crown of Mary from Dunloe. That Crown and Cabaret's next Sunday, broadcast live on TG Cahir for free, by the way. There was some scam circulating somewhere suggesting you had to pay for it, but of course you don't. It's live and free on TG Cahir if you want to watch that on Sunday evening. I'm told that Northern Lights could be visible tonight with a G1 or G2 storm. Keep looking up tonight in the sky after dark. We could have a G3 like we had on May. Wow, I didn't see that. I missed it. I didn't look out the window, I'm not going to lie to you, but I might feel a little bit more excited today. Donegal County Council spend more money on roads than on housing, says a listener. I have had hassle with Electric Ireland since the beginning of the year. My smart meter has a low signal and my bills were estimated since May. It's ongoing and I received a bill in May this year for, put down your tea, €1,250. Between the jigs and the reels, I've had numerous phone calls with them and I discovered a wrong reading which did not correspond with the reading I've been taking since March. Logged a complaint and had a phone call 3 weeks ago saying they are checking it out and will be in touch. Heard nothing since. He did say he was inundated with issues and I wasn't surprised. I think people should take note of the readings often just in case they have a similar issue. Yeah, indeed, you're probably right. Why do we blindly sort of accept things? I've always had issues with the with electric bills anyway. Right, could you please play or say a big happy birthday to Tracy Gallagher on her 50th, the day, it's 50th today, from all the girls in Surgery 99 Dental, Letterkenny. Happy birthday, Tracy.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91260025.
Okay, it is Tuesday the 30th of July. It's time for this week's edition of Community Garda Information, and we have with us Garda Niall Maguire from Falkara Garda Station. Niall, thanks so much for calling in to us.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. Okay, we'll start with an appeal, and whilst it's fresh in people's memories, or indeed before maybe any dash cam footage could be overwritten or what have you, and this is relating to an incident in Dunkinealy.
Yes, I heard it on your news bulletin this morning, Greg. Thanks for that. So, as people are aware from listening to your news, we are appealing for information and witnesses to a road traffic collision that occurred at Killatee, Dunkinealy, on the 29th of July, yesterday, shortly after 5:40 p.m. in the evening. One of the drivers, which you've already mentioned, Greg, a female in her 70s, was taken to Sligo University Hospital to receive treatment for serious injuries sustained, unfortunately. And a second driver, a man in his 30s, was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. No other injuries were reported at the time. The road remains closed and a local diversion is still in place, so the road's still closed. The road closed the same for a technical examination. All HGVs are asked to travel via Ardra at the diversion route, as the diversion route is quite narrow. So anybody that may be able to assist it, witness this accident that hasn't already spoken to my colleagues, please maybe contact my colleagues in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. So as yesterday around 5:40 p.m. or after, anyone that witnessed the crash or had a dash cam would appreciate if that footage could be made available to us.
Okay, we'll move now to an appeal in relation to a burglary at the Market Square in Letterkenny.
Yes, Monday the 22nd of July at approximately 3:35 p.m. a window was broken on a downstairs window of the premises and entry was gained. Damage was caused to doors and a number of other items within the property. Nothing, thank God, was stolen. We appeal to anybody again that may have been in the Market Square area on Monday the 22nd around 3:30 in the afternoon. May have seen something suspicious or heard something at a particular time, please contact my colleagues in Letterkenny 074 9167100. And indeed, for any of the appeals at all, Greg, today or any day, any Garda station or indeed the confidential line on 1-800-666-111.
Yeah, pretty brazen in the middle of the day. And the same applies to an incident at Castle Street.
Castle Street, Letterkenny, between lunchtime on Thursday the 18th of July and lunchtime on Wednesday the 24th of July. So that's almost a week, unfortunately. We're trying to narrow that window down. Entry was gained through a broken window to the rear of the building, and damage was again caused to the building. This time a copper cylinder and pipes were stolen from it. So again, if anybody can help the guards in Letterkenny, Castle Street, Letterkenny, between Thursday the 18th and Wednesday the 24th, please contact Letterkenny.
Copper beginning to become a feature. I'm not saying it ever went away, but I've noted over the last couple of months, copper cylinders and pipes, they are quite valuable, of course. So whether it's a new build or whatever it might be, there are people actively looking for that stuff, it seems, or are able to take it with them. You need to make sure your building is as secure as possible, I'd imagine, now.
Yeah, I suppose with maybe building work picking up once again, Greg, you know, and with our mica situation and one-off houses and things, you know, we have had a history of like oil burners and stuff being taken because like they get delivered and they're left outside, unsecured, not fitted or nothing. Like, they're very easy to steal and they're high-value items. So it's something like, if you bear in mind security when you are building your house, you know, we've had a history of these things being stolen and copper.
And if we know it, the criminals know, because they're professionals at what they do, and that's not to give them any credit whatsoever. Right, we'll head down to the south of the country to Ballintra now, and a theft, which always annoys me, a theft at a beach.
Merva Lower Ballintra, people will be familiar with the location there, close to the beach. On Monday the 22nd of July, between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m, a car was parked at that location and the owner went for what they thought was going to be a lovely walk. They returned to discover that the passenger side window had been smashed and a black River Island handbag containing a small amount of cash had been stolen from within. So I don't know if this handbag was on display or if it was hidden away, but again, I suppose it fits into our narrative that all things should be hidden away in the car because it tends to be when something's displayed, that's when the window gets broken. It's not like random where they break windows.
They're not going to risk apprehension unless there's a potential gain, like to rifle through a glove box or what have you. Stick that stuff in your boot. As you quite rightly said, Niall, we're not attributing any blame because we don't necessarily know if the bag was on show, but it is a good reminder that there are people, if they see something, they'll stick their elbow through it or knock it out with a wheel iron or something and just grab what's over there. Because often then the repair becomes more problematic than what's stolen.
For sure, you're right, Greg. Yeah, like most cars don't have any kind of valuables in them. You know, people are very security conscious, but maybe we do get caught short at times. You're like, oh God, I meant to leave that at home or whatever, and then you don't want to be carrying it with you for your walk or whatever. But unfortunately, it does happen, so we need to be keep our wits sharp. So the guards in Ballyshannon would love to hear from anybody that noticed anything suspicious at the car park in Ballintra Monday the 22nd of July between 2 and 3 p.m.
Yeah,
their phone number is 071 985 8530, please.
On to Killigordon now. An attempted break-in or theft. Is it an attempted or
attempted break-in? No entry was gained, Greg. Drumore, Killigordon, between 9 p.m. the Tuesday 23rd of July and 6 a.m. on Wednesday the 24th of July. A van had been parked at the owner's house overnight, and when they went to the van in the morning, they discovered that the lock had been tampered with and somebody had tried to get into the van. So that happened at Drumore, Killigordon. So thankfully, maybe the lock was strong enough. I don't know if it was the standard lock or if it was an extra padlock that we advise. But again, Drumore, Killigordon, Tuesday 23rd of July, a van was attempted to get broken into. The guards in Letterkenny would love to hear from anyone if they can help us with that. 074 9167 100.
And again, let's use this as a reminder. I think we've probably all been guilty at times of maybe parking the car up, and because it's outside our house or our van for that matter, and not locking it.
Yeah. So I suppose the last couple of appeals there, we've had examples of, and I suppose we have that every week, don't we, Greg? Where, you know, you've the guard coming on here and they're talking, there's always a car broken into somewhere in the county, or indeed there can be a spate of them, there could be 10 maybe. So just we'll use this chance maybe to just again remind people of the very basics. Ensure your vehicle's locked, first of all, whether it's parked at home or in a public place. Park it in a well lit up area. It does tend to be in dark areas where these vehicles are broken into. These are creeper style thefts, we call them. Store your keys away from windows and letterboxes. Don't store valuables such as cash, jewellery or electronics even in your car. You know, kids' tablets and things like that, and telephones.
And often too, be it a van or whatever it might be, they're people's place of work, or at least how they get to and from work and carry the tools of their trade now.
As bad as it is, staying in somebody's handbag gets worse when, you know, I think you agree with me that one. When somebody can't go to work in the morning because their drills and stuff been stolen, you know. It's horrific, and to keep a man back from work, it just makes it way worse, and you know it gets our goat up as well, you know, because we're there for the public, and we're really annoyed when we can't help somebody like that, you know. So it's an important appeal for us to make today. So, you know, sometimes it's impractical for workmen to remove the tools because of the van's full of tools, whatever, and they can't be doing that every evening. So again, additional locking mechanisms should be fitted to the vehicles, and consider maybe tracking devices and things like that. You know, monitored alarms, even air tags, things like that. You know, you probably heard about the some community. I think it was in Donegal, had flower pots stolen and they were recovered because somebody put an air tag in it.
Wow. Okay, I didn't hear that. That's interesting.
It might not have been in Donegal. It was in the country anyway. But so mark and photograph the property and. You know, that takes me on then to later on in the appeals. We do have a property marking event, and I'll give you the details.
Because this is, we said before, a lot of this stuff actually does end up being recovered. But if you've got a yellow jigsaw or whatever it might be, you know, 1,000 people could say that's theirs. But if you've got your air code stamped on it, and as you say, we'll tell people later how we can do that, it means it gets back to you.
Every Garda station district headquarters has a room full of property that has been recovered and hasn't been returned to the owners, Greg.
There you go. Okay.
So another bit of advice is there's an app, a Garda Síochána property app. You'll get it on the App Store or through the Garda.ie website, and it just gives you the facility to record. It's kind of like to assist you in recording and photograph, and so that if something does get stolen, at least you have it there forevermore. It's
brilliant with jewellery as well in houses, because often after a burglary, people remember this necklace, that bracelet, that watch, and then 3 weeks later it's, oh yeah, but there was that ring and this, that and the other. And so for your tools or for your valuables in the house, definitely well worthwhile getting that app.
That does happen, Greg. And, you know, I suppose when we go to houses when there has been a burglary, and like rings and stuff, obviously I don't need to talk about sentimental value or like they're precious to people, but it's always a great help to us if they're photographed, because we're able to upload that onto our national database, and whether they're recovered here or in Cork,
that's it.
You may as
some
well.
Might get melted down the next day, others are passed on, or a car is stopped at a checkpoint and could you open the boot, next thing you know all this stuff's in there.
It happens, great.
As
it
you
does
say
happen,
as you say, there every district HQ is stuff.
Right,
now investigations ongoing into criminal damage by fire in Letterkenny now.
Yes, a garage at a derelict house in Lismonahan, it's near Rowan Park, was set alight in the wee hours. The fire services attended the scene and thankfully put out the blaze. The garage was completely destroyed. The fact it was derelict, there wasn't a huge lot of valuable property in the garage. There was bits and pieces now, but the owner isn't living local, but they've been informed, and it's unfortunate that it happened. We're not ruling out that it was started maliciously. So if anybody seen anybody, the local people will know what house we're talking about, because the activity of the fire service was there. Please maybe contact ourselves in Letterkenny. Even if you've seen people coming and going from that house in the last number of weeks, Greg, it may have been a case that there was people squatting there. So between the hours of 4 a.m. and 5:15 a.m. on Friday the 26th of July, we would be interested to see if anybody could point us in the right direction there at Letterkenny, 074-9167-100.
All right, more pointless activity this time at Teeland Pier.
Teeland Pier, Carrick, between 9:30 and 10 p.m. on Tuesday 23rd of July. Damage was caused to a shed at that location between those times. The window of the shed was smashed, but entry was not gained. If anybody was in the area, maybe have dash cam again near Teeland Pier, please contact the guards in Ballyshannon, 071-985-8530.
Rightio. You mentioned property marking, so maybe that's piqued some people's interests. And we have some upcoming events now.
Yeah, so the property marking is the guards have a little bit of equipment that is able to put a hard stamped, unremovable air code on your property, and it can be hidden or it can be overt as well, if you like. So we're having an event on Saturday the 3rd of August between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. at the Inish Co-op in Carndonagh branch. They'll also be marking property on Sunday the 4th of August between 2 and 4 p.m. at the Festival Field in Muff as part of the Muff Fela. So these are good opportunities to mark like trailers, tools, you know, anything. We can even do phones, bicycles, that kind of thing, even carbon fibre bikes with your air code. So it can be used on wood, plastic, leather, saddles, things like that, Greg. It just uses a little series of dots, something like the you would use maybe to stamp a chassis on a vehicle, if you're familiar with that, on a VIN plate. So it's highly distinguishable and it's permanent. So the only way it can be physically removed is to mechanically remove it as such, you know. So it's quite secure. And if property, say like a trailer, is sold on to somebody, well then at least we'll be able to have some kind of link to get it back to the new owner.
Yeah, definitely. No, all right, that's good. And you can check out the Garda Síochána Facebook page for reminders on these events as they come up, by the way. It's a great resource there. You know, the most precious item we often have is our babies or our toddlers, and we go out and spend a fortune on child seats and we install them ourselves. And
yeah, we're not going to be property marking toddlers, Greg, now.
No, so well, I was actually going to ask you, can you do it to three-year-olds, but I won't. But at the same time, whilst we might be doing our best, it might not necessarily be properly fitted, or in other words, in the event of a high speed collision, God forbid, will it stay where it is? Is it properly secured? And we can get reassurance with a check it fits event now.
Yeah, listen, Greg, I've had first hand experience from my work that of tragedies occurring where child seats haven't been fitted correctly. You know, it is an exact science to fit these things. And I suppose there's so many different types. I think these events are a good success, and there is a percentage of people that come to them and they're kind of astonished that, oh my God, I've been doing that wrong for years, you know. So, yeah, so this is an event. It's a free service. It's a full-time national free expert service which aims to put parents and guardians' minds at ease that their child's car is fitted safely and securely in their car. So that this team will be at the Aldi in Buncrana today and July 30th. And tomorrow, July 31st, they're at Smith Toys in Letterkenny. On Thursday, August 1st, they'll be at Super Value in Donegal Town. And on Friday, August the 2nd, they'll be at Super Value in Bundoran. So this will probably be on the Grand. You'll probably put it up on the Garda Facebook page. So the service will be open from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. So all day at these locations. There's no need to book an appointment. And if you want any more information, visit rse.ie/checkfits for more information.
Because a lot of them, there's a couple of things going on here, and I'll be very brief in this, Niall, but there's a third strap, effectively. They use the two secure points at the bottom of the seat, and most of the child seats have a strap then that there's a securing point normally in the boot of the car.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how many people actually use that, because that stops it moving forward and what have you, right? Secures it back tight to the seat. But there's a lot of child seats now that rotate.
Yeah.
And that strap is attached to the part that rotates.
Okay.
And
I don't know that now. Yeah, you're
so
more familiar than
I am. Just wondering how many people attach that third strap, because really, to avail of the handiness of rotating, you'd want to be going into the boot and unhooking it, because to have it tight, it wouldn't give you the room to rotate. And I'm just, it'd be really interesting to find out from one of these events how many of us are just relying on the two points at the bottom and not using that strap, which is in a lot of seats. But anyway,
sorry. Yeah, I know some of them are like these. You're probably talking about ISOFIX in the back of the
car. Yeah, the ISOFIX is fantastic, but there's normally a third strap that, and if used in boots, there's a little metal metal hook.
I know what you're talking about,
That's to secure the child seat.
Yeah.
But if you have one of these rotating seats, you see, I just wonder how many of us...
Well, there's a separate base as such.
Yeah,
is that right?
It rotates, so in other words, you rotate it, you pop the kid in, rotate it back, but that third strap's attached to what rotates, you see.
Okay.
And if you have that taut, then it no longer rotates, and I can't see people opening the boot, unhooking that and all that kind of stuff.
But again,
and I'm speaking to myself here,
not all,
at the same time.
Yeah, but not all these seats are ISOFIX either. Some are just seat belts.
Yeah, so,
and they are, like, you have your straps going everywhere and they're twisted and all that, so yeah, it is a good idea.
Get peace of mind, as just you say, unfortunately. Kind of, go ahead.
Just from that kind of theme, Gron, you just sent me a message there about... on the Garda Facebook page, they had this motorcycle sort of training course, this bike safe workshop on August the 23rd. Unfortunately, that's all booked up, Greg, so it's sold out. Well, not sold out because it was free, but there's no spaces left. But I think they're having another one. So for further information on bike safe, to view all the workshops across the country, please go on the GardaBikeSafe.ie website. By taking part in bike safe events, you can increase your ability and confidence as a motorcyclist. And I don't need to remind you, Greg, of the tragedies we've had this week and this year. Like, we've had crazy amounts of deaths.
Unfortunately, in terms of motorbikes, we're well ahead of last year. I think it's horrific. 26 motorcyclists or billion passengers. Apologies if the number's not exact, but it's far and ahead of where we would have been last year.
So if you missed out on booking the workshop, there's still an upcoming bike safe event that might suit you. A bike safe information event, so this isn't the train, this is just an information event, will take place at the Diamond Donegal Town on August the 11th between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and Garda motorcyclists from the regional roads police unit Dublin Castle, who are sort of our main motorcycle unit, they'll be there along with advanced motorcyclists and instructors. So any motorcyclist that would like to learn a few skills officially, because I'm motorcyclist myself, but not through the Guards, it's a great event, and the Garda system of riding motorcycles is world renowned, and it's the same system that all the police forces in the world use, and it's a very safe system, and no doubt the feedback we normally get from it is great.
I didn't know that about you. Now, do you commute, or is it for leisure?
Just leisure.
Lovely. Okay. Brilliant stuff. There you go. Right, so that's that. Donegal Gardaí are on patrol at the Olympic Games. What's going on here?
Yeah, nobody told me about this, Greg. I don't know why. My French wouldn't
be
great.
Can I just say before you read this out, you can text in. I know you're going to text in. Well, it'd be quite good if they were patrolling in Milford, right? Yeah. So that's fine. Yeah. So whoever set you up for this, Niall.
I know, yeah.
Whoever set you up for this needs to talk.
I was reading this morning. I was thinking, holy God, I'm going to get it in the next
All right, go on. Anyway, she will do it.
But anyway, I think, just to nip that in the bud, this is an initiative that's paid for by the French government. Yes. Like, the Irish government's not paying for this.
And listen, people have their tongue in the cheek in saying so. Yeah. So the Gardaí are, we have quite a few guards, aren't we, over at the Paris Olympic? What's the background then?
So yeah, there's guards over in France for these the Olympics and the Paralympic Games, and there's a sergeant, I think, and two guards from Donegal. I don't know who they are. I'd love to name them. I'll find out how they pulled this move.
How they got that gig.
So guard officers in Paris they're partaking in, it's a community initiative. Like, they're not armed or nothing like that. The French gendarmes are armed, but they're just patrolling with these French police, and they're available to assist Irish nationals and all other English speaking nationals who attend Olympic events. This was in place last year as well. Mm-hmm. One of my own colleagues from Milford, Martina, was at it, and she had a great time at it now. And I was asking her, did she have any much interaction or arrests and things like that? And she did, actually, yes. So there was quite...
So they're active. It's an active role.
It wasn't like just this token. Yep. Like, they were a practical help, you know. It just wasn't this kind of fluffy kind of place. And they were getting stuck in and getting the sleeves rolled up. So they're there to assure primarily the public security and to welcome visitors, to facilitate the engagement with the host authorities, and to ensure, you know, again, this hit the headlines at the start of the opening ceremony, these arson attacks on the train stations and the infrastructure. So, like, that's all part of their remit as well. You know, they're patrolling train stations and things like that. So we never know. Hopefully we'll have a few successes, stories for us when they come back, you know. Gronje, I think, was speaking with one of the members out there yesterday, and she said that they're having a good time, and they're out in patrol on the beat, and they're learning, they're upskilling themselves, you know, from learning from the gendarme. They're up on a community style basis, and they're continually interacting with the tourists, and they're getting a lot of surprise faces, and, you know, people are coming up and speaking to them, you know, because it is a novelty. So
yeah,
listen,
sure.
I'm not going to criticise it myself, but as I say, the French police are paying for it, so good luck to them.
I think you've filtered on there, Niall. I must get you off air. No, I'm only joking. That's Cardinal Maguire there from the Falcaris Garda Station. Thank you very much indeed, as always. Okay, you can watch and listen back. You can listen back on our podcast a little later on. You can watch it back on our Facebook page and the Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on this afternoon. And it's back live again for you next Tuesday, just after the 10 o'clock news. Right, we're back. Doing a bit of housework here. We've got Caroline in, we've got Paul in, we've been moving Mike's socks around and all manner of stuff. Hiya, Paul. Paul McLaughlin from Ballacter Garden Centre. How are you keeping?
Not so bad.
Oh, better give you a microphone. What about the weather? It's mixed.
Mixed, exactly. Tomorrow has to be good. So someone to look forward to, but I guess as far as the forecasters are giving us.
Yeah, into the weekend's looking a bit changeable again.
Yes.
But a bit warmer. So that's
warmer,
good,
definitely, exactly.
For the plants,
yes,
the flowers,
exactly.
Is it?
No, things are sort of moving on, but it's just, I would say, it's just we're going to have to take what we get at this stage.
Yeah. I think really what the public want, what we want, not everyone, I'm conscious of that, is maybe just a week of El Scorchio.
Yes.
And then after 3 days, we can sort of go, oh, I don't like this heat.
Nah, exactly.
That sort of
doesn't
thing,
take us very
it?
Long just to clean up the heat altogether.
It's just a wee bit of a psychological thing, isn't it? It's to make us feel that we had a summer. Hydrangeas, a lot of questions in about those, but we can preempt them to some extent. What's the story with hydrangeas?
Yes, hydrangeas, funny, I've been travelling about the county a lot. I've been working on a show and down the west there lately, and they're just looking spectacular at the minute. So they're the hydrangeas, the big showy flowers on them at this stage. Used to be you got pinks and blues, generally all you got. Now with more hybridised versions, you have all sorts of different shades. From the purples through reds, right into
and
blues.
You can get a lot of colour, a lot of bang for your buck, and even for those who aren't necessarily terribly green fingered, it's manageable.
Yes, very easy. Very easily grown. They'll tolerate most soils around here. They actually seem to thrive in our soils around here. And it's a plant as well, it's very easy grown from cuttings. If you ever think of getting into the idea of growing plants from cuttings, that's where most people would start. In the sense that they're generally the easiest to take.
When's the right time to take the cuttings then?
Pretty much in the sort of August. Sort of mid-August to September, right? That's
okay.
Perfect time for
it. And they're obviously, they stay in the ground all year round.
Exactly. They will lose the leaves through the winter.
Yeah.
But they'll stay in the ground all winter.
All right, great stuff. Crocosmia.
Yes.
You're seeing quite a bit of that in your travels as well.
Absolutely. Funny, it's one of them. The Crocosmia is a thing, it's a really vibrant plant. The Lucifer is the particularly red one, is out at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd spot it a mile off, basically, because it's so vibrant and so red against the thing. The traditional sort of Mombrisha version of it was the orange one, which is actually, it grows along the road. You would see it quite a bit. It's like a grassy plant with a nice orangey flower on it.
Now, with that in mind, and this is something I didn't even know, and it would never cross my mind, people that are visiting here, they like that plant.
Yes.
And then they'll come in and try and source it in garden centres.
Yes, absolutely. Funny, we would have a huge amount, especially from Scotland.
Yeah.
We would have a huge amount of visitors come in. Because most of them be over, probably practically they're over with their cars.
And yeah.
But they always want to bring back sort of a plant that reminds me of their trip or... Yeah. Or
and what's the most common sort of naturally occurring version, colour-wise?
Orange.
Right, okay.
The orange. It would be sort of mid-orange, I would say. But it's grows quite... It's the grow from bulbs. So it spread quite a bit. We see them quite often along roads there.
And are they like daffodils? Would they retreat and come back annually?
Pretty much. They won't die back 100%, but they'll die back about 75%.
Okay. Yeah, so brilliant stuff. Right, okay. What shall we be doing around the garden at the moment?
Around the garden, I'm supposed to keep up on the watering and the feeding, basically the bedding plants. Once again, I said it the last time I was on, but because we're not getting the amount of sunshine we need, it's a good idea to give the flowers wee extra feed.
They're getting energy from the roots rather than their leaves, really, aren't they?
So they got photosynthesis or whatever isn't particularly happening as well as it should be. So the notion would be, say, if you're used to feeding them every 2 weeks, move that down to 10 days, 8 days. Something like
and
that.
We mentioned when the right time to take cuttings from hydrangeas is, but it's kind of across the board to some extent. We're heading into a good period for that, are we?
Pretty much from mid-August on.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, we're nearly in August now at this stage. But once you get into the summer of August, you can start thinking of taking cuttings, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right. Well, your peaches were a huge success the last time you were in.
How'd the jam go?
The jam has yet to be sampled.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because I haven't had a scone yet.
Right,
and
fair enough,
I'm determined to have it on a scone with cream.
Excellent.
And I'm prepared to wait.
Aye.
And one day, I don't know if this is what life is like for everybody else, but one day just rolls into another.
Yes, absolutely.
And then a week rolls into the next week.
Yeah.
And here we are. Right. So, no, I have to get some scones. I'm actually genuinely going to enjoy that. And I want it with cream as well. The peaches, though, were delish.
Very good. I was watching a thing one day on TV. It was actually about England. If you're from certain counties, you put on the jam first and then the cream. in other counties, but on the green first and then the gym. Mm,
so,
I don't know if you want to get that technical about it.
How could you put the jam on top of the cream? So you dollop it maybe, do you?
Possibly, I don't know.
Right, okay. Hey, listen, I don't care which way you do it. Yes, get them here, Mountain Top Letterkenny. So what, in terms of, it's fruit and veg at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, pretty much.
A lot of people still have their spuds in because they got planted late.
Yes, funny, I was actually reading a thing yesterday as well about they reckon that the crop's going to be down this year because they went in late and they're just not going to have the same amount of time in the ground. But not funny, I dug some of my own yesterday to sample them, but they would need another 2 weeks. Because they were late getting in.
Yeah. So and what's the indicator that they come out too soon?
Just taste as much as anything else. They're just very, very, very soapy and watery. So they are now. But they're still in flower. Ideally, you would want to let the flower start to die back on.
Everything's moved back a month in that regard. So July 12th. It'll be August 12th at the very least. Pretty much. Right, okay. The lawns now. Is this peak? Are they going to look as good as they're possibly going to look now?
It's been sort of, in one way, it's been a good year for lawns in terms of they're not actually facing any hardship in terms of drying
out.
That's
right, yeah.
But in another thing, some people who have sort of dampish lawns, they're waterlogged already, if you know what I mean. Because I've been through a few lawns and you can still hear squelching around your feet. But no, basically lawns should be sort of prime time for them. If it did come good for the next wee while, maybe lift the blades a click whenever you're cutting. Just to give it a wee bit more chance to recover.
Turf's a problem this year as well too. You know, unless you've got nice high dry ground, it just has not dried at all.
No, absolutely. What I got there, but I know a few people have theirs home here, but they're at it early, if you know what I mean. But anybody low lying at all, the ground's just not drying up at all.
No, and it's soaking them up. Probably big Russian pallets coming up.
Quite possibly.
Right, okay. So let us you've always been a strong advocate for, you know, there are public gardens that people can go in and visit. You've always been a strong advocate for that, Paul, and you're saying, look, if you're looking for something to do.
Absolutely. I suppose this time of year, a lot of people are either on holidays or maybe they have relatives not visiting holidays. Gardens, like, we're spoiled with gardens around here, like you have Oakfield Park over in Rafo, or especially Glenveagh. Glenveagh is absolutely spectacular day out. So it is. So if you get the chance, if you're looking for something to do, go and visit some of these lovely gardens. And it's great for picking up, like, inspiration for your own garden. Like, obviously, you're not going to have a big sort of a castle garden maybe going on in your own house, but there are wee bits you can take from it.
But only pick up inspiration. Don't pick up their flowers.
No, absolutely not. Which apparently does happen.
That's exactly why I said it. All right, we'll be back with questions for Paul from you, the listener, after we take this break. Keep them coming into us, by the way. You'd still have time if you quick 086 60 25,000. Patches of red-coloured grass. Don't hear that too often. What's going on there?
Oh, it's a thing. It was common a couple of years ago. I haven't seen that much of it this year. It's a condition called red thread. It's basically the wee things of grass look like the red threads running through them.
Yeah.
I guess it's sort of a fungal infection, but it happens whenever the ground is actually, the grass has become matted almost. And basically airflow's not moving through it, so this sort of takes over. The good news about that is it's not fatal. Sometimes it will go away on its own. But generally, if you fertilise the garden and actually give it run over something like a scarifier to remove some of that thatch and the build-up below.
It bounces back.
Improve the airflow through it.
Is the grass dead?
No, it's not. It's actually just turned red.
Right, okay.
As much as anything else. So probably it'd be, if you scarify, then a certain amount of that will come out with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But no, it's like I say, it was popular, or not popular, but it was common a few years ago.
Okay.
But not so much. Haven't seen it this year.
Can dead bushes come back to life? They're in the resus room here.
Well, to be honest, if they're dead, chances are not, if you know what I mean. A handy way to sort of tell one way or another, if it's a sort of a woody plant, like a shrub or a tree, just use your fingernail and scratch a wee bit of the bark.
Yeah.
If you see green and under where you've scratched, you have hope.
Right.
If it's brown under that part of the plant,
it's dead. It's a stick.
Exactly, it's dry.
It's a stick at that stage.
Yeah. Unfortunately, with a lot of plants, they can be dead long before you see it.
So if it's green, you're good to go, potentially. If it's brown, it's kindling.
Yes, pretty much.
Is there anything I can spray on plants or bushes to stop goats eating them?
Goats now would be problematic. So obviously the ideal thing would be, and it's not easy, is to fence the goats out of the particular area. But you do get a product called grazers. It comes in a bottle, you spray it on your grass.
That's for deer more so, is it?
Deer and pigeons. It would keep them off. Once again, they say it works for a period of 6 weeks. If you get a period of rain after it, it obviously shortens that, if you know what I mean. So I've heard of a few different sort of things on it in terms of the effectiveness on it, but I've never heard it for goats. But I suppose we'll keep deers away. It may
maybe, yeah,
may have a chance of keeping the goats away.
And it's safe, really. It's just a deterrent.
Yes, exactly, yeah. A deterrent. Okay. Oh, no, it's not going to do them any harm.
Yeah. A caller's concreting some of their garden. They want to move some plants. When's the best time to lift them? Dahlias, rose bushes, etc.
Yeah, pretty much any plant like that there, the time to lift and move plants would be in the dormant season, which would be sort of from about the 1st of December up to about St. Patrick's Day, 1st April, around that.
Do you take soil with them?
Soil, exactly. Take as much soil as possible, as practical with them. And whenever you put them back into their new location, put plenty of water on them.
Yeah.
So that, if you're concreting, if there are like contractors coming, that time might be of the essence.
Of course.
So you can possibly chance them at this stage.
Yeah.
But take loads of soil with you and keep them well watered after the fact.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably going to be successful if you're careful.
Quite possibly, you know, quite possibly. You're always taking a risk, but now for the most part, the success rate would be quite good.
If you take as much of the roots as is possible, I presume.
Yeah.
Miniature small foxwood plant. I want to move it. Can I?
Move like once again any plant sort of. If you can at all, possibly leave it until sort of. I say the 1st of December. It's actually after the first hard frost, which is generally around the first week of December. So that period up to the 1st April, you can move it away.
My trees are suffering. They're growing healthily on the inside, but rotting on the outside.
Right. I would say that's probably a combination of just wet and windy weather as much as anything else. Generally, if a plant's been attacked from the outside, it's the wind that's doing the damage. So hopefully if the weather improved, your tree might improve a bit too. If it's a big tree and sort of ruining the look of it, I suppose, or the aesthetic of it, you could give it a wee trim around the outside at the stage. It's not going to do it anyhow.
How can I keep my basil plant alive?
Basil plants generally, as herbs go, can be relatively hard to keep alive.
So we talked about this before, didn't we?
Aye, exactly. The supermarket ones tend to, sort of, they're liquid fed with fertiliser, so it's hard to keep them going at that level. So if you want to keep a basil plant in the house, best start from seed. And have it in just sort of suited to your conditions.
Yeah, as it grows if it grows in that environment, it lives in that environment.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Japanese knotweed, is there an effective way to treat it?
Effective weed, just systemic weed killer will kill it, but it's sort of a 3-year period, if you know what I mean. You'd have to do it for over the course of 3 years. I know a lot of people don't like using sort of herbicides like that in that rate, if you know what I mean. But no, it is possible to eradicate it that way. But like digging or anything, that's not effective.
Okay, interesting. So you have to kill it where it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think it's probably illegal, actually, to remove it anyway and move it to another site because you're only spreading the problem.
I just got all the lawn sowed out. What trees could I plant now?
Trees, loads of trees available at the minute. So there are generally, if a tree's potted, you can plant it any time of year. It obviously depends on your sort of site. If you're an exposed site, you'd be better going towards sort of more native plants. So you would be like your mountain ash, even beech, stuff like
still
that.
Lovely trees.
Absolutely lovely trees. If you're in an urban area, you could go maybe more decorative, sort of like your laburnums, your flowers.
And there's certain trees too, if you want a seat under, for example.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Say, for instance, you take a notion down the line, they have a longer trunk to them.
Yes, absolutely.
Beech, particularly, no?
Beech would work like that, all right. Even what do you call it? Oaks. Someone got there, but
I haven't got 150 years, I'm afraid.
Unfortunately, the thing is,
I ain't planting no trees for my grandchildren.
Yes, that's what I got.
Or their children, for that matter.
They always reckon the best time to plant a tree was yesterday. Yeah. Apart from that, it's today.
10 years ago. Okay. Well, I took a cutting of a hydrangea last month, and I took it. It's grown beautiful. If I can manage keeping the slugs away. So
yes.
Fair play. So they cut the hydrangeas, replanted it. It's going well. Slugs.
Yes, slugs. Slugs are sort of never, especially this year with the damp weather, slugs are never present problem as much as anything else. If the person's fond of eggs, just their cuttings, if you actually just get what I got, if they have the cuttings grown in the pot, surrounded by their crushed up eggshells, just creates a barrier, if you know. Or if it's in pots, really, you can clatter like a Vaseline around the sort of rim of the pot.
Right,
so a bit across, not down.
That's interesting. This sounds potentially painful. How do I keep squirrels from eating my apples?
Good question. So it is. Once again, that product we discussed earlier on, the grazers, I think actually will sort of, I think, is effective against squirrels too. But someone like that there, even for our birds and stuff eating your apples at the minute, chances are net would be the best thing, just to keep them away, because
squirrels will.
Yeah.
They're clever though, aren't they?
Exactly. Everything's for their lot of crafty.
Well, if about a bird, it goes wah and go away, but a squirrel goes, I can do this.
That's it. Just sees it as a challenge.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter, grey or red, they go for the apples.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. It's a challenge, isn't it?
Yes, why it's bother? Constant battle.
Why bother? All right, good stuff. also, too, if people are heading away for a week or 2 weeks, someone asked, what could they do in the garden? No one's going to call around and do it, right? So what can you do yourself? People might, but I'm saying for those that don't have someone to come and check on the plants.
If somebody hasn't somebody to come around and check on the plants, best thing to do is sort of move them to a sheltered sort of spot away from full sun, because they're going to dry out. Your bedding plants, that's going to dry out particularly. There are all sorts of innovative products you can get at the minute there, even like bottle taps that you stick into the ground that sort of releases the water slowly into it, if you know what I mean, can help do that. Otherwise, just even sometimes put your plants down into a tray and fill that with water, so it allows them to wick it up that way.
All right, great stuff. Listen, Paul, as always, thank you very much. Well,
thank you, Greg.
You obviously came empty-handed, but that's fine too. You can't bring something with you every day.
Yes, no, potatoes be ready next time. Potatoes be ready next time.
Really? Really?
Yeah, it should be, hopefully.
I will take them. Listen, brilliant stuff, Paul. Thank you very much indeed. Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballagher Garden Centre Mountain Top. Any questions, by the way, or bring pictures and go in and have a chat with the likes of Paul in Ballagher Garden Centre. And we have an amazing array of garden centres right across the region as well, and they're all great, and you can call in and get advice or what have you. That's what they're there for as well. Right, we'll take a quick break and talk up to the news at 11. We'll be right back. Don't forget, by the way, coming up after 11, we speak to this year's Mary from Dunloe contestants. We're really excited to have them in studio with us.